As the trial of Chad and Lori Daybell nears closer, specifically Lori in the coming weeks, we're trying to give you as much context on the case as possible. So we're going back into the archives all the way to 2020, August 3rd and 4th, for the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13, so you can hear where it all begins in the courtroom and where it will pick up as the trial of Lori Daybell begins very soon. This is that hearing. Let's go to the courtroom.
All rise. This court is again in session. The Honorable Judge Kern Z. Evans, everybody.
Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning, Mr. Pryor. Good morning, Mr. Daybell.
Good morning,
Mr. Wood, Mr. Rammel.
Good morning, Judge.
We'll be on the record again here in CR 2220-755, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. This is the second day of the preliminary hearing set in this matter here in Fremont County, Idaho. My name is Judge Eddins. Last night, at the end of the day, we finished up with the direct examination of the witness Melanie Gibb, and it's my understanding we're going to start with the cross-examination of that witness. Is that correct, Mr. Wood?
I believe so, Your Honor. Right.
Ms. Gibb, if you'll please come forward. Ms. Gibb, with the new day, we'll swear you in here again. Ms. Gibb, you can be seated there in that witness chair. If you'll pull that microphone up to your chin and aim it at your chin again. Mr. Pryor, you may inquire on cross-examination when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Pryor, in looking at some of the recording last night, I noticed that the one audio that we couldn't hear very well was yours. So, again, if you don't mind making your microphone look like this, it will record it a lot better if it's pointed at your chin. I know it looks weird. That's the way to do it.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. Can you hear me now?
I can.
And Ms. Gibbs, can you hear me as well?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Gibbs, Ms. Gibb, I apologize. When did you first meet Mr. Daybell?
About, I think, 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. If I reflect, the information I have is that you were at a preparedness camp in July of 2017 in Ogden, Utah. Is that correct?
In Morgan, Utah. Yes, that's correct.
Morgan, Utah?
Mm-hmm.
Is Morgan close to Ogden?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And would you explain to me what a preparedness camp is?
It was
objection
a camp.
Objection, relevance.
Mr. Pryor, there's been an objection as to relevance.
Well, Judge, there was testimony that they met. I think I can inquire as to the nature of that relationship and what they were both there for, and I don't think it's necessarily irrelevant that there's a discussion. It's much like we went to a concert or we went to a play. It's the same thing. I think I'm allowed to inquire about that. I don't see that that's necessarily irrelevant.
I'll overrule the objection. You may continue with that question, Mr. Pryor.
And again, ma'am, before Mr. Wood injected his objection, there was a question about what is a preparedness camp?
It's a camp where people get together, families and individuals, where they're learning about how to cook outside or how to filter water or different preparedness skills.
Preparedness for what?
For if there's times where you may not have those types of things readily available to you, that you could learn to do it if you didn't have electricity, things like that.
Okay. Well, I noticed when I was listening to your tape, and I've heard that before, there were some religious references on that tape between you and Miss Vallow. And I'm just curious as to whether this preparedness camp has any kind of a religious undertone as well.
Objection. Well, relevance.
Overruled. I think that there was a lot of religious undertones that were put forth yesterday. I'm going to allow Mr. Pryor to go down this road in a limited way here today. I'm going to allow that question.
And again, there was a religious undertone, and I don't want to go into complete detail about this, and it's not necessary. But I would like you to explain what is, in your mind, the religious nature of these preparedness camps.
Your client was one of those people that spoke at that, and he was expressing his visions
Judge,
and dreams.
I'm going to move to strike. The question is what's the religious undertone? It's not what my client participated, ma'am. It's what is the undertone of this? So I'd like you to answer my question as opposed to pushing some blame on my client. So would you answer the question?
Objection. This is argumentative.
Hold up. We're going to take a timeout here. Mr. Pryor, I want you to ask the question. Ms. Gibb, I want you to answer the question that Mr. Pryor is asking you. I'm not going to tell you how to answer that question, but I want you to listen carefully to the question that he asks. Understand, after Mr. Pryor asks you these questions, Mr. Wood will get a chance to offer any redirect if he deems that's necessary, which can often provide clarification, but I want you to listen carefully to the question that's being asked of you and answer only that question. Mr. Pryor, you can ask a question again.
So I noticed you just took a look at Mr. Wood. Is there a reason why you just did that?
I looked around.
Oh, you looked around?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't actually look at his face.
Okay. Just over in that direction. So why don't you tell me what the religious nature of this preparedness camp is, ma'am?
People sharing their spiritual experiences,
okay.
Scriptural based to personal dreams.
Does it have a specific religious affiliation in this religious preparedness camp?
People that belong to our church.
What church is that, ma'am?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So you represent yourself as an LDS person, is that
correct?
There? Okay, all right. And the first opportunity for you to meet Mr. Daybell was in July of 2017. Did you have a face-to-face meeting with him?
Yes.
Okay, did you discuss anything in particular?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Judge, I heard some voices in the corner and it distracted me. I apologize. And then did you have any contact with him prior to the July 18th organization that you went to in Mesa, Arizona?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so you don't have any recollection of whether you spoke to him again between July of 2017 and July of 2018, is that correct?
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And then you were at some sort of an organization in July of 2018, is that right?
I'm sorry, 2018?
In Mesa, Arizona.
I'm just checking my mind with my dates. I believe so.
Is there anything that you have in terms of a medical condition that affects your ability to recollect anything, ma'am?
No.
Is there any condition such as an auditory disorder that you've been diagnosed with that affects your ability to understand and hear things?
No.
You've never been medically diagnosed with an auditory disorder?
No.
Okay. At some point you met Lori Vallow, is that correct?
Correct.
And when was that?
October 2018.
Did you meet Chad Daybell at the same time?
No.
That was a different occasion. And where did you meet Ms. Vallow, ma'am?
In Mesa, Arizona, at a church building.
Okay, and what was the nature of the proceeding that you were at? Was it a preparedness camp again?
No, it was a held by the church, inside the church, about preparedness type of classes that they asked me to speak on.
Okay, and this was the church that was supporting this preparedness situation was part of the LDS church, is that correct?
Yes, but these groups were separate.
I'm sorry, say that again?
These groups were not affiliated with each other.
Okay, but it was at an LDS church, yeah. And it was an LDS-sponsored event, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was Mr. Daybell there?
No.
Okay. And then on July of 18th, when you met him in Mesa, Arizona, when is the next time that you met him?
I met him. We saw each other in October 2018, probably a week or two after I met Lori.
Okay. And That was in St. George?
Yes.
And what was the nature of that meeting? Where was that taking place at? In a church as well?
No, I think it was in an elementary school.
Okay. And what was the nature of that meeting? What was
it was a variety of speakers.
Okay. And what was the topics?
We had some talking about science.
Okay.
We had some talking about Book of Mormon evidence.
Okay.
We had some talking about their dreams of visions.
Okay. And were you a speaker at that as well?
No.
There's a gentleman's name who came up, and it's a Mr. Warwick. You mentioned him a couple of times
yes.
yesterday. What's your relationship with Mr. Warwick?
He's my boyfriend.
Okay. Are you two living together?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Do you know where Mr. Warwick lives?
Yes.
Where does he live?
He lives in Utah.
Where in Utah?
Pleasant Grove.
Okay, where do you live, ma'am?
Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay. And that's your permanent address in Gilbert, Arizona?
Correct.
Okay. And again, the October 26th at St. George, did that have religious overtones as well?
Yes.
And that was also somewhat sponsored by the LDS Church, is that correct?
Not by the church, by individuals.
Okay. But the theme of that was consistent with what your religious faith is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And are you telling me that on October 26th, Mr. Daybell was there as well?
Yes.
Okay.
If you could speak a little closer to your mic.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Daybell, do you recall what his topic was at that time on October of 2018?
Yes, he talked about the different visions he had of what he saw was going to happen in the last days.
Is that something that interested you?
Yes.
Is that something that's inconsistent with your religious beliefs?
No.
Okay. So it's something that's consistent with your religious beliefs, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And then at some point, do you have a recollection when Mr. Daybell and Lori Vallow met?
Yes.
And you were present for that meeting, is that correct?
Yes.
And was that in Arizona?
No. As you recall, I said St. George, Utah.
That was on the 26th of 2018 in St. George. That's correct. Okay. So you had known Ms. Vallow at that point for how long?
A few weeks.
Okay. Did you form a friendship?
Yes.
Was it an immediate friendship?
Yes.
Would you describe, obviously I heard some of your testimony on that tape, but from that time in October until, you know, maybe the beginning of last year, you had a very close friendship. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Sisters?
Possibly.
Well, possibly, or were you that close?
We were close.
Okay. You shared a number of things.
Yes.
You shared your belief about having visions about things that may happen in the future, correct?
Not my visions, not her visions.
Okay. Okay. But you're not in disbelief about having visions about things, are you?
I'm not in disbelief.
Right. Okay. Can you tell me how many times you spoke with the Gilbert Police Department?
Multiple times, maybe five or six.
Okay. Do you have a recollection of the first time you spoke with the Gilbert Police Department?
I believe it was December. I'm sorry, in person or on phone?
On the phone.
On phone. I believe it was December 7th or 8th.
Is it possible that in November, Officer Piller left you a phone message to get back to him and call him?
In November. Yes.
Okay. And then in November, you didn't call him back right away, is that correct?
Correct.
And then at some point, you did have contact with him. Did you initiate the contact, or did Officer Gilbert initiate the contact?
Well, he first initiated it, and then I secondly initiated it.
So you called him back?
Correct.
Some time after he had called you, correct?
That's correct.
How much time passed between when he left the message and when you got back to him?
I would say within an hour, possibly.
Okay. And then at some point, there was a question regarding the whereabouts of JJ. Is that right?
Correct.
And at that point, you had advised him that you had had JJ in your care, correct?
I told him that I had him, and then I didn't have him.
Okay. So the initial time that you told him that you had JJ, that was not a truthful statement to Officer Piller, was it?
Correct.
And when you tell a statement that's not accurate to a police officer, that's a lie, is it not?
Correct.
So you lied to a police officer, is that correct?
Correct.
And then at some point, how long between the time when you told that lie to the police officer regarding the whereabouts of JJ Vallow, did you correct your lie? How much time passed?
Till I spoke to him on December 6th, I believe. I could be off a day or two.
So, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want an accurate reflection of the amount of time that we're talking about. The initial call from Officer Gilbert occurred sometime in late November. Would you have any reason to disagree with that, ma'am?
No.
And then the time when you decided to tell Officer Gilbert the truth, at least what you think the truth is, was sometime in December, the 6th of December.
Correct.
So approximately 10 to 12 days passed from the time you told your first lie to when you decided to come up with a different story for Officer Gilbert later on, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So at least at that point, we have two phone calls with Officer Gilbert, correct?
Correct.
Officer Gilbert, Officer Piller, I'm sorry, I apologize. Officer Piller, I can't get Gilbert, Arizona out of my mind. Mm-hmm. Officer Piller.
Mm-hmm.
When was the next time you spoke with Officer Piller?
Maybe the next day. And
what was the purpose of that phone call?
We were just trying to make arrangements to get together.
To discuss the case?
Correct.
And where did you make arrangements to discuss the case?
In his office in Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay, and when did you have that office visit with him? Do you recall?
I know I have it written down. I cannot recall right now. It's on my phone, though.
Was it a significant amount of time, or was it a brief bite?
Well, I was in Utah at the time.
Where were you in Utah?
Oh, hold up. So, Mr. Pryor, you're interrupting the witness before she can answer the question.
I apologize, Your Honor.
We're making a record here, so it's crucial that nobody talk over each other. So, Mr. Pryor, I want you to make an effort here to let the witness finish the answer before you ask the next question. And Ms. Gibb, if you'll make sure he finishes the question before you start to answer.
Okay.
So the last thing I heard is that you were in Utah, and I did interrupt you. I apologize for that.
It's okay.
Where were you in Utah?
I was at David Warwick's home in Pleasant Grove, Utah.
How long had you been there?
A few days. I can't recall.
And you recall the approximate date as when you were there?
I'm sorry?
The approximate date when you were there, ma'am?
I don't have those dates memorized right now.
Okay. But at some point, you then had an in-face-to-face conversation with Officer Piller of the Gilbert Police
Department. When I arrived home from my trip to Utah, I immediately went there that day. I didn't even go home first.
Okay. And how long was the conversation with Officer Piller?
I would say at least 2 hours.
Okay. Did he advise you whether or not that was a recorded conversation?
I believe he did.
Okay. He said it was a recorded conversation?
I believe so, but I can't exactly recall.
Okay. And then did you have another visit with him at a later time after that?
I did.
Okay. When was that, ma'am?
I can't recall the time, but it was probably a few weeks.
A few weeks later? Okay. And again, was that a recorded conversation was that a recorded conversation?
I don't know for sure, but it could have been.
Was it an in-person discussion?
Yes.
Who else was present for that meeting?
The second meeting, I believe it was just Officer Pryor, or Piller, sorry.
Piller. And then at some point, were you interviewed by the Rexburg Police Department?
A little bit.
And when you say a little bit, can you tell me what that means?
I just had a brief conversation, and then he told me to just contact Gilbert Police to tell the whole story.
Did you have any other visits with the Gilbert Police Department after that, the last one you spoke of?
Yes.
Okay. When was the next one?
Oh, could have been like a month or two later. I can't recall.
Okay. And at any time, did you have a face-to-face meeting with anybody from the Rexburg Police Department?
Not until just a few months ago when they came down to speak to me.
Okay. And who came down to speak with you?
Detective Ball and Detective Hermosillo and Rob Woods.
Right. So at that point, do you recall what that date of that meeting was?
I believe it was in June.
Okay.
But I can't recall the date.
Okay. And again, that meeting, Officer Hermosillo was present?
Correct.
Did Officer Hermosillo say that he was recording that conversation?
I do not know.
Did he ever, would you recall whether he told you that?
I can't recall.
Did Lieutenant Ball say he was recording the conversation?
I cannot recall.
Okay. Mr. Wood was present for a discussion with you in June as well, because he was present for that meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Did they, and the topic of discussion was Lori Vallow?
It was everybody.
Okay. And everybody meaning Lori Vallow, correct?
Correct.
Chad Daybell?
Correct.
Alex Cox?
Correct.
Was there also a discussion about potential difficulties you might have as a result of lying to the Gilbert Police Department?
No.
There was never any reference or any offer of any deal to testify about anything, and they would forego going after you for lying to a police officer?
No.
And you've never been offered anything by anyone in regards to the fact that you lied about Arlisa?
Objection asked and answered.
Mr. Pryor?
I judge it's a different question. It's a slightly different question.
I'll allow you to ask the question.
So again, Mr. Wood has never specifically offered you any deal to testify in any manner in this case. Is that correct?
Never.
Okay. And when you came into town, when did you arrive in town this week?
Saturday.
Okay. Did you have a meeting with Mr. Wood prior to testifying today?
Yes.
Did he tell you what to say on the stand?
No.
Did he coach you in any way?
No.
Did he ask you to testify in a certain manner or wear a certain amount of clothes a certain way?
No.
He didn't tell you anything.
We talked about a lot of things.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get into. It wasn't the weather, was it, ma'am?
No.
It was about how and what you were going to say in this hearing today, correct?
He asked me questions, and I gave him answers.
Do you know whether or not that recording, that conversation was recorded or not?
I have no idea.
So if what you're telling me is that when you arrived here on Saturday, you had a meeting with Mr. Wood. Who else was present for that meeting?
David Warwick and two of the women he works with.
Okay, two of the women Mr. Warwick works with?
No, Rob Woods.
Okay, so his staff was there as well?
Correct.
Okay, was any law enforcement officer there?
Probably, yes. I saw Detective Hermosillo and some of the detectives. I didn't know their name and I didn't know their titles, but I know they told me. I just can't recall all the people.
And when you say probably, the answer is there were other officers there, correct?
Yes.
And how many other officers, and you don't need to give me their names, but how many in number were in this place where you were being interviewed?
I cannot recall. There was several people going in and out. It was a busy kind of a movement.
I'm sorry again. And where did this interview take place?
In the Madison County Courthouse.
Okay. At the prosecutor's office?
Yes.
So if I understand this correctly, that you spoke to numerous law enforcement officers about your testimony. Mr. Wood and...
Objection. He's misstating her testimony.
Mr. Pryor?
Well, there have been at least four or five discussions with Officer Pillar, is that correct?
I'm sorry?
Officer Pillar, how many times have you
spoken? Your Honor, I misunderstood his question. Never mind.
Okay.
I'll withdraw my objection.
Okay.
Mr. Pryor, please proceed.
You've had numerous discussions with law enforcement officers, is that correct?
Yes, if you could speak a little closer to your mic.
Okay, I will. Other than Officer Hermosillo and Officer Ball and Officer Pillar from the Gilbert Police Department, have you spoken to anybody with the FBI?
Yes.
And how many times did you speak with the FBI?
Maybe two or three times.
When were those, ma'am?
Oh. Sometime in 2020 and sometime in the beginning of the year. I cannot recall the dates.
All right, so sometime in 2020, that's a very broad range. Are you having difficulty remembering when you spoke with an FBI agent?
Yes.
And is it your common practice to regularly speak with FBI agents? Is that why you can't remember that you spoke with one?
Objection, common. And argumentative.
Sustained on the argumentative. Mr. Pryor, if you'll divide your questions so that we can get one answer per question.
You testified that sometime in 2020 you spoke with the FBI. Did you speak to him in August of 2020?
I can't recall.
Okay.
August? That would be this month.
That would be. So that's why I'm trying to wonder whether or not you can't recall because there's...
I didn't speak to anybody in August.
Okay. Did you speak to anybody in July of 2020?
I don't think so.
Okay. June of 2020.
I'm sorry?
June of 2020. Did you speak to the FBI?
Probably not, but I can't recall.
Okay. Did you speak to the FBI in May of 2020?
I can't recall.
Do you have any recollection of any month that you may have spoken to the FBI?
No.
Okay. So you don't remember even talking to them?
I remember talking to them.
You just don't know what month it was?
I want to be accurate, so I don't remember.
Okay. Okay. So in 2019, do you have a more distinct recollection of when you spoke with the FBI?
No.
Okay. Was it an uneventful discussion? Is that why you don't remember it?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Was it an uneventful discussion? Is that why you don't remember it?
I just can't recall the time because it didn't have any significance of a certain... It was on the phone, so I don't remember the date.
Oh, you've never had a face-to-face discussion with the FBI?
No.
It's always been on the phone?
Correct.
Okay. Do you keep your phone records?
Mostly, yes.
Okay. And you have your phone records available for the last couple of years?
I don't think they date back that long.
Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit, if we may, and I'd like to talk about Alex Cox. How would you describe your relationship with Alex Cox?
A friend, friendly with each other.
How many times did you meet Alex Cox?
Multiple times, I cannot recall.
When is the first time you met Alex Cox?
Shortly after meeting Lori, between October and November 2018.
Okay. How would you describe the relationship based on the knowledge that you have of between Alex Cox and Lori Vallow?
I'm sorry, the relationship I have or they have?
They have, the two of them.
Oh, those two together? They were good friends and siblings to each other. They got along really well.
Well, they were very close with each other, were they not?
Yes.
In fact, isn't it true that when they moved from Arizona to Idaho, Alex moved as well, isn't that true?
Correct.
And in fact, he tried to get an apartment right next to Lori's, isn't that correct?
I believe so.
Right. And he actually gave up a job so that he could be with Lori in Idaho, is that correct?
I don't know if he gave it up.
Okay. Did he do that previously as well? in Texas or something like that? Do you have any recollection of that?
I don't know.
So when you describe they have a close relationship, it was a little more than close. They were extremely close, weren't they?
Objection, speculative.
There's no speculation. It's a specific question. Were they extremely close?
Ms. Gibb, I'm going to authorize the question to be answered if you know the answer to that question.
I would say yes.
Okay. Now, you listened to the tape recording that you recorded. And that was in, what was that, November? Was that December of last year? Is that correct, that tape recording? The one, the 21-minute record with Lori?
Yeah, December 8th.
Okay. You remember the date?
I did.
Okay. Were you prompted by law enforcement to make that phone call?
Nope.
You did that on your own?
Yep.
And the questions you asked were questions that you planned ahead of time to ask Lori about what was going on, correct?
Correct.
And you planned this as a means of trying to gain some information to somehow either clarify things for you, correct?
Partially correct. I had many objectives in that, and that was one of them.
Okay.
To show my innocence.
Okay, and one of the other objectives, and we'll talk about that, is to impress upon the police that you did nothing wrong. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you needed to prove to the police that you were innocent of no wrongdoing. Is that correct?
That wasn't my full objective.
But it was one of the objectives, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I took the liberty of listening to that tape a number of times, and I found something quite interesting, is that Lori Vallow said on the tape that she would not tell anything to Al. When she said she would not tell anything to Al, who's the Al she's talking about?
Her brother.
That would be Alex Cox?
Correct.
And she also talked about not telling you anything as well, correct?
Correct.
And you two were more than close friends. You were almost sisters with Lori Vallow, weren't you?
We were really close.
Well, were you almost sisters? Would you describe it as that close?
Possibly.
Okay. Is there a reason why you're not saying yes?
Well, it's just a big word to say you're sisters with somebody. I haven't known her for very long, so it's only been a few months.
Okay. But you knew her long enough to make that phone call to try to get her to help you clear your name, right?
Partially.
Okay. Now, would you describe Lori as someone who's a persuasive person?
Yes.
And she's got quite a dynamic personality, doesn't she?
Yes.
And she's very convincing, isn't she?
Yes.
And if she says that she would not discuss anything with any of her children or the whereabouts with anybody close to her, would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
So she would, no matter who it is, she would probably refrain from giving out any information if it served her purpose.
Objection, correct? Speculative. Calls for facts, not in evidence.
Sustained.
I'd like to talk a little bit and switch gears a little bit. You went down to, You came to Rexburg around the 19th of September, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And part of your visit, you brought your boyfriend at the time, David Warwick, correct?
He met me there.
Okay. You guys met there.
Correct.
And then you were staying in, and I've had an opportunity to go through all of the police reports and all the evidence, but you were staying in Lori Vallow's apartment, is that correct?
Correct.
And you and David were staying in Tylee's room, from what I understand the statements that were previously given. Is that correct?
I was.
Oh, where was David staying?
In JJ's room.
Okay. Now, and obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a poor relationship with Tylee, and isn't that correct?
I would say I had pretty much a no relationship with Tylee.
Right. She didn't care. Well, all right, I want to strike this because I don't want to misrepresent. Both of you weren't particularly fond of each other. Is that correct?
Objection asked and answered.
That hasn't been asked and answered, Judge.
Overruled. I'll allow the question.
You and Tylee were not particularly fond of each other. Is that correct?
I don't know how she felt about me, but I did not have a relationship with her. I would not say that.
Okay. But it's no surprise that she didn't necessarily want to be around you, did she?
Objection. Calls for speculation.
Sustained.
You could really care less whether you were around her as well. Isn't that true, ma'am?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, if it's not necessarily, does that mean yes, no, or you just don't want to answer?
Objection. Argumentative.
Sustained.
How would you describe your relationship with Tylee, other than not at all? Did you care to be around her or not?
Very little.
Objection asked and answered.
Okay.
Sustained.
I'm fine, Judge. I'm going to move on. How would you describe your relationship with JJ?
I tried to communicate, but he didn't reciprocate, so there was not a relationship.
Okay. He was autistic, obviously, right?
Correct.
And you're familiar with that as well. You share with Lori the job of caring for autistic children as well, do you not?
Objection.
Correct.
Relevance.
I repeat the question for me, Mr. Pryor.
You share the job and the obligation of caring for an autistic child as well, do you not, Ms. Gibb?
I'd also renew the objection on the grounds that it's beyond the scope of the direct.
I don't know how far you're going to go along this road, Mr. Pryor. I'll allow that one question, okay. But as far as relevance goes, I agree. You're bordering on the relevant.
All right. You share that with Ms. Vallow, as you have an autistic child as well, do you not, ma'am?
Correct.
Okay. Now, that child was also interviewed by the police about the whereabouts of J.J. Vallow. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Were you present for that?
No.
Okay. You chose not to be?
I was in Utah.
Okay.
He was in Gilbert.
So the Gilbert police approached him and interviewed him about, to your knowledge, about the whereabouts of J.J.?
They asked him questions.
Okay. Do you have any recollection as to whether or not he cooperated with the officers?
He says he had a short visit with them.
Okay. And when did he say that short visit was?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Okay. To your recollection, were you ever present when your son and J.J. Vallow had a short visit? At the time period that he was talking about, ma'am?
They never had a visit during that period.
Okay. So that was not a truthful statement that your son made to the Gilbert police?
My department. Son did not
Objection,
understand the
calls
question.
Objection, calls for hearsay.
It's not calling for hearsay. That's just asking whether or not she believes it was a truthful statement to the police department about her son saying she had a visit with J.J. Vallow when it didn't happen.
Your Honor, he's just trying to sneak in a statement of someone who's not here in the courtroom. It's calls for hearsay.
Sustained.
Okay. I'm going to move on, Judge.
Thank you.
You left on the 23rd of September, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And at that time, you didn't see Tylee at all, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, on the Sunday, the 22nd, did David and Chad go to deal with some real estate matters together?
I did as well, and so Alex was there too.
Oh, that was news to me. I wasn't aware you went as well. Where did you guys go?
We went to a lot that was close to Mr. Daybell's home.
And what time was that? Do you recall?
It was sometime in the afternoon. I don't recall exactly.
Okay. Sometime meaning between 12 and 5 or 6?
I would say either late morning or early afternoon.
Okay. And the purpose of that was for what, ma'am?
Chad wanted to show this piece of land to David, and he encouraged him to consider building on that land.
Okay. Is your boyfriend in the real estate business, ma'am?
General contractor.
General contractor, okay. Was Lori Vallow present for that?
No.
Was Alex present for that?
Yes.
Okay. And what time did that end?
I don't recall.
Was it a long visit?
I would say an hour-ish.
Okay. Now, on the night of the 22nd, Alex Cox was babysitting JJ. Is that what I recall from your testimony?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd like to go through a brief timeline, if I may.
Okay.
So you got back from a real estate event sometime late afternoon, something like that. Is that correct?
Something like that.
Then you and your boyfriend drove over to Lori's apartment?
After that meeting, yes.
Yeah. Did Alex go with you in the same car?
No, he had his own vehicle.
Okay. Did Alex go over to Lori's apartment as well that day afterwards?
I don't recall when he did. He was in and out often.
He was, I'm sorry, what?
He was in and out. He would come in and out of the house, so I don't recall exactly when he arrived or exactly when he did. I don't remember.
He had an ability to just visit Lori. They were very close in that he would just come in when he felt like it. Is that fair
yeah,
to say?
I would say that's fair.
Okay. All right. And so at some point on the 22nd, he was coming in and out, correct?
Yes.
You talked a little bit about Alex carrying JJ back into Lori's apartment.
Correct.
Do you recall when that was approximately?
As I shared yesterday, it was sometime between the hours of 9 p.m. to midnight-ish.
Did Alex stay in the apartment that night?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, how big of an apartment is this?
There are three bedrooms upstairs and none downstairs.
So, with you in one bedroom, and your boyfriend in the other bedroom, and Lori in a bedroom, where was JJ?
He had like a little bed in the corner of her room.
Okay.
And so that's where she would have him sleep.
Oh, okay. Was that a permanent structure in there, ma'am?
It was a bed in a corner.
And to your knowledge, was JJ there at night between 9 and 12?
To my knowledge, he was.
And Alex put him to bed, is that correct?
I just remember him coming in the house holding him, and then I turned back to the recording that I was doing that evening.
Okay. And what was the nature of the recording, ma'am?
We were recording a podcast with Lori present, and we were interviewing David, and he was sharing a lot of his personal spiritual experiences and conversion to our church.
Okay, and that's the LDS religion?
Correct.
So Lori was actively involved as well in the LDS religion at that time during that meeting as well, correct?
Correct.
And she shared the same beliefs that you share in terms of the religion, is that correct?
Correct.
And Chad shared the same religious beliefs as part of the LDS church as well, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So all of you, David, yourself, Lori and Chad all share the same and are consistent with your LDS beliefs. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You got up in the morning on the 23rd?
Sometime.
Do you recall about what time, ma'am?
I don't.
Okay. But you do recall that JJ wasn't there?
Correct.
Well, if you didn't know he slept there when you were doing your podcast, how did you know he was there? Wasn't there?
As I said, I don't recall seeing him. I never recall seeing him.
Oh, so he may have been there.
I didn't see him.
Okay, but he may have been there or he may not have been there. Would that be a fair statement?
Sure.
Well, I don't need sure. Is that a fair statement or is it an unfair statement?
It could be fair.
Okay, thank you. Did Lori rely on Alex for babysitting?
Sometimes. I don't believe all the time. I wouldn't know all her babysitting moments.
And up until the time that Lori moved here around September 1st, Mr. Daybell wasn't a regular visitor with Lori Daybell prior to September 1st. Would that be fair?
Calls for facts outside of evidence.
Will you please repeat the question, Mr. Pryor?
Would it be fair to say that Mr. Daybell was not a regular visitor with Lori Vallow until she moved here on September 1st? Would that be fair?
Would it be fair that who is not a regular visitor?
Would it be fair that Mr. Daybell was not a regular visitor with Ms. Vallow until after he moved here, until after she moved here on September 1st, ma'am.
Mr. Wood, your objection.
I'll withdraw the objection.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, if you know the answer to that question, you can answer it.
I know, according to knowledge from what Lori shared, that they visited often.
Oh, they did. Was that prior to September 1st?
Yes.
Oh, so he would go to, where was Lori living?
She lived multiple places.
Well, let's talk about that. Where was she living prior to September 1st?
She was living in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay, did she move somewhere else prior to Chandler?
Yes.
Where did she live?
She lived in Texas. I'm sorry. Yes, Texas.
When, do you have a recollection of when she lived in Texas?
I'm not sure exactly the months, but I want to say somewhere between like April or May or
of what year,
something,
ma'am?
Or June of 2019, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, 2019.
And about how long did she live in Texas, ma'am?
It seemed that it was around 2 months. It could have been a little bit more, a little bit less.
And then she moved to Chandler, Arizona, is that correct?
Correct.
Did she live any place after Chandler before she came to Rexburg?
I don't think so, no.
Well, you said multiple places, that's what I'm trying to get at. Was it just two places?
No. So she lived with Alex Cox for a period of time.
Oh, when did she live with Alex?
So the beginning of 2019, after she left Charles, and she also lived in Hawaii for a period of time, so.
Right. Was she in Hawaii, and I'm not talking about the time that she was with Chad, was she in Hawaii with Alex as well?
I don't think he was there. I don't know for sure.
It's possible he was in Hawaii as well.
I don't recall it.
He had a habit of kind of following her, didn't he?
I don't know, following, but they were around each other a lot, and then she went to his house to live, so right. She went over there.
So they were pretty strongly bonded with each other, weren't they?
Yes.
Okay. And I didn't hear what the name was, and I apologize for my ignorance. Talk to me a little bit about, I think you said King Noah. Was it King Noah? Is that what you mentioned on the tape when you were talking to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. And the date of that conversation with Lori was December 8th again?
Yes.
And I was having some difficulty kind of gathering what the reference to King Noah was about. Tell me about that.
Well, she brought the reference up to the fact that a prophet named Alma, and she asked me about Alma, and so I explained to her, you know, the people that were surrounded with that occurrence of Alma's experience.
What's the occurrence of Alma?
Mr. Pryor, you keep interrupting the witness, so it's extremely difficult for me to hear the last few words of her answer before you answer, so if you'll please allow her to finish before you interrupt.
Again, Your Honor, I apologize.
No problem.
So, ma'am, I'm sorry, and I'll try to do better. I'm just intrigued by this, and obviously, please excuse my ignorance. Tell me a little bit about Alma.
Alma was a prophet, but before he became that prophet, he was in a court as a high priest to a king called King Noah. But this King Noah was a very unrighteous king.
Okay.
And so Alma, being one of the judges or high priests that were listening to another prophet call them to repentance, named Abinadi, he started to feel that the actions of King Noah were evil, and he broke away from this group, and then he left.
Okay. Okay. And I got the sense that there was some sort of adultery undertone there. Is that, am I misunderstanding that?
Yeah, King Noah and his group of people tend to be breaking the commandments, and he became an unrighteous prophet.
Okay, so adultery is obviously that's.
Your Honor, I objection relevance.
Mr. Pryor, do you want to respond to that?
Well, Judge, there was some reference to Ms. Vallow's behavior and some reference to King Noah and Angel Moroni or something like that. And I think, quite honestly, I ought to be able to inquire. The tape was played. It was presented as evidence. And I think I at least ought to inquire what that reference and what she was referring to. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is get an explanation of what that reference was, because I am terribly confused about what they were talking about.
Objection overruled. I'll allow the questioning.
Okay. So was adultery part of this, the dynamic of this this issue with King Noah and the such?
It was multiple things that King Noah. I said riotous living.
Okay. What do you mean by riotous? I've got to stop. I'm sorry, Judge. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know everything that they were doing in the scriptural reference, other than they noted it. So whatever that meant in their day.
So in multiple things, adultery obviously was one of those, correct?
It was one of those.
Okay. And the scripture that you're referring to, is there a biblical source of that information and that story that you're telling me?
Which scripture reference are you referring to?
The one about King Noah that you were discussing with Lori Vallow. What is the source? Is there a book or a document that story is told in?
Oh, it's in the Book of Mormon.
It's in the Book of Mormon. Okay.
Correct.
So your reference with Lori, obviously she understands that because she was actively and still participating in the LDS religion.
Correct.
And Mr. Daybell was actively participating in the LDS religion, correct?
That I know of.
Okay. And you are actively participating in the LDS religion.
Correct.
So all of you understood the references that you were talking about. That's what I was trying to get at. And thank you, ma'am, for explaining that. I didn't understand, okay? And please excuse my ignorance. I think I asked you about the podcast and what the subject was. It was a religious subject, was it not?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I did. And thank you. Mr. Daybell was an author, is that correct?
Is he an author?
Yes.
Correct.
And he writes fiction. Is that correct?
I haven't read all
Objection
his books.
Objection is beyond the scope, relevance.
Mr. Pryor?
Well, Judge, I think what she did is talk an awful lot about Mr. Daybell and her knowledge of Mr. Daybell. And I think, quite honestly, I'm using this as a way of trying to find out exactly how familiar she is with Mr. Daybell. She made a number of statements, and I think I ought to be able to inquire about how much does she know about Mr. Daybell? I think that's perfectly relevant.
Mr. Wood?
I fail to see how it's relevant at all, Your Honor. This is turning into a fishing expedition. Preliminary hearing is not for the defense to engage in discovery. He's limited in what he's supposed to ask to what was presented on direct.
I agree with Mr. Wood. However, I think that there is some inquiry that can be made here. The question was about an author and what the substance of the books were, what genre they were, so I'll allow the questioning. You can continue to make your objection, Mr. Wood, if you'd like, if you feel it's going too far.
You haven't read all of his books, but the nature of it is that he's a fiction writer. Is that fair?
Fair.
Okay, and you're, I don't want to say fiancé, you're not engaged to Mr. Warwick, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Warwick is a writer as well?
No.
Oh, I was under the impression he was an author as well. He wrote some things. That's incorrect?
Incorrect.
Okay. Judge, I have nothing further. Thank you very much. And thank you, Ms. Gibb. I appreciate your patience with me.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wood, in your redirect.
Your Honor, the state would ask for a 5-minute recess.
We'll take 5.
All right.
You've been listening to the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any piece of this compelling court testimony as we prepare for the trial of Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.